Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. I'm very excited to be joined by my friend, the winner of Big Brother 23, a finalist in the BB Reindeer Games, Xavier. Xavier, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. This was good. A lot of fun. Probably more fun than I thought. And I'm curious what you thought going in when you got that call. You're like, oh, this seems like a little, yeah. Tell me about that. And then how did the show play out for you?
It seemed like it was going to be real cute. It seemed like it was going to be really like, oh, that's cute. We're going to go. We're going to do like some Big Brother staple competitions. And it'll be so much fun. And then like we get in there and it was just like the intensity and like the quickness of the game felt like an elongated double eviction. Like that's pretty much what it felt like every single day. It was the same energy you get during a double eviction, but for like 8 hours a day. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought we were going to be doing here. I thought we were all going to kind of hang out for 10 days, have like some competitive fun, but not really anything like that's forcing us to be like cutthroat or anything like that. And it was just, that was not, they pretty much took every like crazy idea they've been wanting to use on a regular season and just threw it at us. And I was like, okay, got it. Now I see what I got myself into. This is going to be fun. This is going to be great.
I feel like the producers seem to be adapting too, because I don't know if it's one of you guys on TikTok or Instagram. Somebody said that like there might not have been conversations between decisions, but you guys were like, well, can we talk to people? Like, so it's interesting that was sort of added to the whole dynamic.
What, like in the dynamic, you mean like the fact that we couldn't like kind of talk to each other in between like decisions?
Yeah, like, I don't remember if it was or someone said,
no,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was 100%. Like, the amount of time that you had to socialize with others or, like, strategize was, like, so, like, a lot of this, there were some decisions being made with, like, sometimes you barely got to talk to, like, the last person before you heard the sleigh bells ringing, and you were like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go do this potential game-changing decision now off very little information that I obtained in about 25 minutes after talking to 8 people. You know, it was like, that's a very different dynamic from like traditional Big Brother. Traditional Big Brother, you have a competition and then you have days to form genuine relationships, days to strategize and think about what decision makes the most sense from every possible angle. Here, it was like, okay, I think you might be a threat. You're going in. And that was pretty much it. It was like, do people perceive you as a threat? Do they not perceive you as a threat? And if they perceive you as a threat, it's kind of based off of traditional Big Brother and like those competitions, where these were vastly different.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, when you got the phone call, was there hesitation, or were you like, all right, it's a week or two, I can win 100 grand, no brainer? Or like, was it an immediate yes or no?
No, there was hesitation for several reasons. Part of the reason for hesitation is like just money. And it's like, I'm showing up, I want to get paid. But like, there was also the aspect of like, okay, last time I went on a show and they told me there was going to be other winners, I felt like I was kind of led to believe there would be other Big Brother winners. And then I showed up and it was just me. And I was like, oh, Bunna Murray, you sneaky little dogs. And so I was like, I'm not about to let myself get played again. But through my own kind of deductive reasoning, I guess, or deductive logic, I was like, okay, CBS has a policy in place. They're bringing back Big Brother winners. I was like, okay, there's only like a certain amount of us. So I was like, if I don't see Josh, Casey, Taylor, June, then like something's gone very wrong. And so like that was something that kind of gave me a little more comfort. And like then ended up seeing five winners there, which is the most I think that I've ever been on any version of Big Brother. It gave me a little more comfort for about 5 minutes. And then I was like, oh, so out of all these people here, you want to look at me. But it was just kind of like, it was cool. It was cool to be in that space with like so many winners who have won in very different ways. But then also you got Danielle Reyes, who's like my favorite player of all time. You got Brittany Haynes, who's responsible for my favorite. Wait, I believe her last name is now what? Godwin? Is it Godwin now? Yeah, Brittany Godwin, who's responsible for like my favorite Big Brother moment when she made fun of Boogie as he was getting evicted on Big Brother. Was it 14? Yeah, 14. When she did the Chill Town kind of imitation. My favorite moment, easily. So, and then, you know, Cam, he just is coming up 100 days after winning AFP. And then Frankie, who's he has such an infectious spirit. And it's just always like, he's like an Energizer bunny running around, but like very glitterified. So like, it was cool to just be in an environment with all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was definitely some hesitation with going on. Definitely some hesitation. But ultimately for me, I was kind of like, this actually might be one of the last Big Brother things that I do. And so it was like, you know, 10 days, it makes sense because I was like, I don't know if an all winter season is going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be something else that makes sense for me. So ultimately this might be it. And so let's see how it goes. And that was kind of what ultimately led me to saying yes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the all winter season, Josh at least said that this kind of gave him the itch of like, to do it, to like they that hoping he, that they do it. So like, would you be open to it more so now after Reindeer Games, or even or less so? And you're like, eh.
I think probably more of the latter. Honestly, it was funny because like Josh is like, bro, I'm never playing Big Brother without you again. And I was just like, oh, Josh, you'd be fine without me. I think after doing Reindeer Games, I'm still hesitant on whether or not I think all winter season could happen simply because of just the logistics of it.
Yeah.
And like, I think this was very doable for a lot of winners to do. And so the fact that it wasn't all winners, I was like, so you want to try to get enough winners to do an all winter season for about like a month or so. Could it happen? Maybe, but I'm still a little more skeptical. And that like kind of skepticism is also what led me to say yes, because it was like, if an all winter season isn't going to happen, it's probably about as close as I'm going to get. But yeah, as far as like wanting to compete in it, I'm not sure. I would say the money would probably have to be right for me to do that.
That's what I said. The money should be upped, and it should be a shorter season. Yeah. I think you'll get people.
Yeah, I think I won't say no just outright, but like it's got a lot of things got to make sense for me to go back for an all winter season.
That's really fair. So going into this game, you know, we see an alliance of four form with Josh, you, Taylor, Danielle. How solid was that? And going in, were you like, okay, yeah, these are probably the people I want to work with? Or because I know you also like, you're friends with Cody outside the game. Like, you have other relationships. So who did you feel good about?
So coming into the game, I had only met two people in person. That's Taylor and Josh. Cody and I have like talked, and like even Danielle and I have talked, but we had never met in person. And we've only talked like briefly on like the phone or like texting or like DM, like, oh, cool post, like that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But like Taylor, I had hung out with before, and like Josh, I had hung out with before. So like, I actually had somewhat of a pre-existing relationship with them, but everyone else, it was like my first time meeting them. So like, I know coming into this, I think some people thought like socially I was cool with everybody. I was like, not really. Like I was cool with like Taylor and Josh, and then like kind of had a relationship with Danielle and Cody, but like Brittany, I had no pre-existing relationship with or any contact with whatsoever. Not with Frankie, not with Cam, not with Nicole. Am I missing one? No, I think that would have been. Who am I missing? Who am I blanking on? Well, whoever that last person is, who am I blanking on?
Wait, who
no,
is
no. Oh, no, I think that might be everybody. I'm forgetting somebody. Sorry. But yeah, I didn't have as many social ties just coming in because like I don't really go to like some of those events and stuff. So like I didn't have opportunities to meet them. So Taylor and Josh, I felt good with. And then Cody, I felt like kind of solid with, just because I feel like if Cody comes in and he's looking to like aim his gun at people, I don't think I'm going to be like the first one.
Yep.
Like, he might aim his gun at me eventually, but I don't think out the gate he's looking my direction. So that's where I was like, I'm probably all right with Cody too. Mm. But everybody else, I was like, yeah, they're probably going to come for me. and I didn't like, because there was only 9 people and it was 6 days. In my opinion, I was like, I don't know how much sense it makes for me to go and make promises to everybody that I know I'm eventually going to have to break. Like, if anything, I'd rather pick my people and be like, this is who I'm rocking with, which means y'all are the only people that I can come with or come after.
It was funny because so we had 2 of the elves or the helpers, I don't know what you call them, from Big Brother 23 in Tiffany and Derek there. Obviously, you're the winner of that season. Did you feel any added pressure that they were there, like, watching you? Like, was it weird in that context?
It was kind of weird just because, like, I don't know. With people from my season, it always at times feels like there's this weird dynamic when it comes to me. Like, I think we all have a genuine, like, love and support for one another, despite anything that happened on the Challenge USA. Like, I truly, like, love to see them succeed. At times, I feel like they want to see me do well, but at the same time, I also think they get a kick if I don't do well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they also get like a little chuck. So it's like, it's a weird dynamic. And I don't have that with them. Like, if they succeed, I'm happy. I don't necessarily care to see them struggle. But if they like can kind of see me struggle, I feel like they get kind of a kick out of it. I don't quite know why, but it is what it is. But for me, I was just like, when they came in, I was just happy to see them.
Yeah.
Last time I had seen Tiffany and DX would have been, I came out to LA with my fiance and we all went out to dinner. So that was the last time I got to see them. So getting to see them again in those cute little elf costumes was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I thought it was like a nice little reunion. Very unexpected.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about a couple decisions that were made along the way. Like first one, your decision to compete against Nicole and leave Taylor to compete against Frankie. Any regrets there, or is it kind of like you probably would have made the same decision?
Honestly, I don't like a lot of these questions are going to be like hindsight, seeing how things unfolded and then being like, oh, well, if this had happened and this happened, that's going to happen for literally everybody. Like people could be like, oh, Taylor, if you don't save Nicole, you might win. And you know what I'm saying? Like that can happen with anybody. So I think where I potentially made a miscalculation when it came to picking Nicole was I was looking at like people and their total number of challenge wins, like overall. Frankie had 6 at that point. I believe I had 5. I believe Taylor had 4 and Nicole had 3. But one aspect that I didn't factor in was like how many challenges people won like just by themselves.
Oh.
And what I mean by that is like you can have like a team win and you can have like a partner win, or you have wins where you saw some people in the Naughty and Nice challenge. They're working with others. Like, and then like for example, when Frankie, Brittany and Nicole were like, okay, everyone pick a person. We're all going to go down and guess. And then Frankie picked Slasher correctly. Like that was also kind of like even though Frankie won, it was kind of like a team effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But so every win that Nicole had up to that point was like Nicole won it without any help, which is something that like in a 1v1 kind of structure was something that I think I probably should have given a little more credit to.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but that is very true.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's a 1v1 tournament. So like instead of focusing on someone's total number of wins, it probably makes a little more sense to focus on how they competed, like the wins that they had individually, how did they do? And Nicole, when she won individually, she was crushing it. And I think when you go to like the total number of individual wins on the season, Nicole finished with 5. Like every single win she had was just of her own, you know, kind of capabilities. No help from other people. Like she just won.
Yeah.
So that's where I think, but like the funny thing is people are like, oh, with the 30-second disadvantage or advantage, why wouldn't you pick Frankie? When I tell you those Naughty and Nice advantages and disadvantages did nothing, like they were such a non-factor every single time. If you don't believe me, go and ask every single person who competed, ask them, oh, did you feel like the Naughty and Nice advantage, disadvantage were super impactful? I would say the one that was probably the most impactful was being able to bench somebody. That to me was significant. I think that's significant because you're taking an opportunity away for them to get safety. Mm-hmm. Like if she benches Taylor on that, because Taylor won the next Jingle Bell Brawl. If she benches Taylor, you know, who knows what happens? You know what I'm saying? Like, so like that one was significant, but like the one where, you know, Josh and I were like, hey, Taylor, let's not give it to Frankie, give it to one of us. But then like Josh can't see the little the image on the wall. The way the gingerbread men were set up, you knew exactly how you needed to stack it. So that not being able to see it on the wall didn't matter at all.
Oh, yeah.
It was completely insignificant. And then when Brittany, like the first one, Brittany wins, she's like, oh, I get to give a disadvantage to Cody. Cody had one male card in this slot. And if you ask Brittany, she was like, that did literally nothing. And it didn't. So like a lot of the disadvantages, I didn't pay too much attention to that. I was more so hoping that if I win that challenge, I'll just get leapfrogged to the finals and then the three of them might have to compete in something because we don't know what the structure is.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it is speculation. A lot of it is assumption. And I was just like, okay, so now I have to set the bracket. Let me pick Nicole, because I was like, Taylor, I don't want to go head to head against just because I don't, I'd rather, if we're going to meet, let's meet in the final.
Yeah.
And then with Frankie, I was like, I don't think the disadvantage would have been that much of a factor. And ultimately, if I had made it to the finals, I wouldn't have wanted to see probably Taylor or Nicole in that final puzzle. I would rather go against Frankie than Taylor and Nicole in that. Because I think Taylor and Nicole would have been the best at that puzzle. Not to say Frankie would have been bad. I think Frankie's good at pretty much anything. But Nicole crushed it, and Taylor was doing very well at that last little snowflake thing. Like, I think out of that final four, I would have done the worst at that snowflake easily.
Interesting.
I don't even know who I would want to see in that snowflake. Probably none of you.
They're all, like, you guys are all pretty well-rounded players, so it is a tough call.
With the bracket, like, the way I view it is, no matter who I would have picked, if they beat me, ultimately, I picked who beat me. You know, like, it was what it was. Either I was going to pick someone and beat them, or I was going to pick them and lose to them. And I ended up losing to the person who won it all, and is arguably the most accomplished woman to ever set foot in the Big Brother house. I don't really take shame in that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm going to be all right.
I do want to mention, because I'm sure you guys were not you, because you were in the final four, but like it seemed like people were surprised that Nicole and Taylor were in the end. I think fans were surprised. I think it was nice. We saw two women, two female winners, mm-hmm. both from Michigan, which is your home state too, which is pretty cool. Two women being in the final. I was happy about that. It was cool.
Oh, that was fantastic. I think when Frankie and I ran out, when you saw people's like reactions, to seeing Frankie and I running out, they were like, what? And I didn't get it, but I was like, yeah, we got our asses beat. Like, I don't know. Straight up, Nicole and Taylor came, they said, Frankie, X, and smacked that ass. Like, they whooped us. And it was what it was. Like, dude, on this day, they had our number. Like, mm-hmm. they won when they needed to the most. That's awesome. Good for them. And it's for Frankie and I don't think we lost to two winners. Like, there's no shame in that. Nope. And it wasn't like, you know, I didn't feel any type of way about it, but I think the shock factor is kind of twofold. Like, the fact that it was shocking is kind of sad. I get why it is, but it's kind of sad because it shows just how people have been conditioned by traditional kind of Big Brother competitions. You know, that's why walking in, people thought like me, Cody, Cam. Yeah. I even heard some people saying Josh, but then like after day two, everyone changed their tone on Josh real quick. They're like, oh, Josh, you're coming to the reindeer camps. Come on, buddy. But me, Cam, and Cody immediately, they were like, these guys got to go. But then as I would say on day two, people really started to clock in that like, oh, really anybody can probably win these competitions. These aren't things that are tailored toward people's physicality, so to speak. They're all pretty equitable. And I think all the comps were equitable. So seeing two women get to the end, and it was funny because like throughout the time there, I'm telling people, I'm like, yo, you can beat me at shit. Like, y'all can beat me at stuff. Like, stop sitting there thinking I'm invincible. I'm not. I promise you I'm not. Like, and I'm also telling, like, the women there, which, like, it would get frustrating because, like, you could see at times they would feel. And, like, part of this was, I think, them leaning into their strategy. But also at the same time, I think just in traditional Big Brother competitions, in some competitions going against guys, they felt like they wouldn't have as good of a shot. And I'm like, no, you guys are far more capable than you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would tell them that repeatedly. And then lo and behold, they're kicking all of our asses. So it was like,
yeah.
Told you.
Yeah, that, that
yeah, I think that was great.
Yeah, when they wanted to do girl, girl, guy, guy.
Oh my gosh. I was like, no, no, because if it's some balancing thing, Josh and I are screwed. Like, no, I don't want to be partners with Josh. I want Nicole or I wanted Brittany. Specifically, I wanted Nicole just because Taylor and Frankie were going to be a duo. Taylor and Frankie were a duo. So I'm like, to give me a little bit of cushion, I want Nicole because Nicole has a good relationship with Frankie. I have a solid relationship with Taylor. And Nicole also has a decent relationship with Taylor. So if they're sending a duo in, I like our odds for not being sent in.
Hmm.
So I was like, cool. Like the way those pairs went, I loved it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't want to be partners with Frankie and I wanted me and Josh split up. And I would have preferred Nicole just because Frankie and Taylor being partners. So I was like, this is great. But Nicole and Brittany were like, I don't know, guys. We just want to work together. And women, I was like, man, forget all that. Forget all that. Let's split this up so we all kind of make it as even a playing field as possible because we don't know what we're going to see.
Fair. Yeah. One of the big moments I think that I wanted to ask you about is because, you know, I know Danielle wasn't like thrilled that Brittany threw her in, and I've talked to both of them about that, but like you were sort of involved because I think at least what Brittany told me today was that the moment that you were really pushing to save Danielle kind of clicked in her brain. Whoa, they're way closer than I thought. And Danielle's not my number one. You know what I mean? Like X is her number one. Yeah. So what did you think about that decision from Brittany?
So I've seen things where people are either like trying to solely blame me for Danielle's eviction, or people are like solely putting the blame on Brittany for Danielle's.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2. Your second line simplified.
Her elimination. Honestly, I think there were four people involved in Danielle going home. And I think Danielle going home was the perfect cocktail of catastrophic misunderstanding.
Oh, okay.
And what I mean by that is, like, I think based off the information people had, they all felt like they were making the right decision based off the information they had. And ultimately, when the chips finally fell, it was just like, oh, well, this could have been different or this could have been different.
Mm.
But you don't know that. Like that day, and I think this gets kind of lost in all this, that kind of Santa showdown, I would equate it to probably like a quadruple eviction. Because like you go in and Santa showdown, then you have, I would say probably like 2 minutes before the next person's going in. So you don't have a lot of time. That's why I'm trying to tell people, like, these aren't decisions that we're sitting on thinking about, festering, really set, like, no, you have split second decisions that are going to affect someone's game. So when it came to, so Brittany was saying, like, I think some of this has to do with outside factors. No one wants to be known as the person who's solely responsible for sending Danielle Reyes home. So, like, you know what I'm saying? No one wants to be that person. And, like, no one's going to come out and say that, but I'm going to just keep it real. No one wants to be responsible for being the sole person responsible for sending Brittany home. But like I said, I blame four people, and I'll break that down. I do put some blame on me because I think either one, maybe I could have given her nothing, or maybe I could have worded things differently. I do think I could have maybe approached that differently in the information that I did tell Brittany, 100%. Mm-hmm. But my thought process was I had already peeped that Danielle and Brittany were like, cool. Like the extent of their relationship, I didn't know Danielle thought Brittany was her number one, but like I knew that they had a working relationship.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I got to give Brittany something. Like, I don't want to give Brittany nothing because I've been giving her air up to this point, and I don't want to keep giving her air. I want to give her something. So it was like, okay, I'm not going to, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I want to give her something. And I was like, okay, Brittany's working with Danielle. If I say that I'm protecting Danielle and Brittany and Danielle are working together, I can't see her throwing in her ally. Like, if this is truly one of your allies, why would you throw in someone who's never going to come for you? And then, and mind you, Brittany and I are on opposite sides. We're not on the same side. So Brittany is going to take anything that I say and try to use it to get the people that I'm working with to isolate me even more than I already am in the game. So, and this, if I say I'm protecting Danielle and she throws in Danielle, let's say Danielle comes back. Brittany, what did Xavier say to you? He said he was trying to protect you. Danielle's going to get all up in arms with me saying like, hey, I was looking out for you. No. Hey. And then let's say like Taylor goes in. Hey, did Xavier say my name? No, he didn't. Let's say she sends in Josh. Hey, did X say my name? No, he didn't. So it was like, can't use anything against me with Josh. Can't use anything against me with Taylor. And if you do throw in Danielle, who is a number for you, it's like, okay, you're kind of damaging yourself there too, but you're also trying to take a shot at me, which is cool. But even if Danielle comes back, she's going to know that I was looking out for her. So in any ways, with the people that I think had the only incentive to work with me, I don't feel like I've given any of them incentive if they stay to really not want to work for me again in the future. Or maybe, maybe. But yeah,
I was thinking that because like, did you go in being like, I want to stay as loyal as possible? Because like, you're known for person. You're like, I don't want to really backstab if I don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was like, we're going to see who I end up working with. Once I had locked in with my four and I knew there was only five and the reindeer games takes four, I was like, cool. I know who I'm looking out for moving forward with this season. Mm-hmm. And they were like Daniel Reyes, Taylor, I was like, I don't want to go against any of you guys. Like, not like I don't want to go against you guys in like a competition, but like, I don't want to backstab y'all. Like, yeah. I like y'all. So no, I'd rather not get super cutthroat. This is not, especially in some little holiday special. No, this ain't the time for that. But yeah, so like my thought process with that decision, but this is where, so I've talked about me. So now let's get into, I'll say Brittany for last.
Okay.
Frankie and Nicole. No one's talking about the influence that they had on this decision. From the beginning of that day, what do you see when Danielle and I are talking on the couch? Brittany and Nicole go into the bathroom. They're already talking about they don't like that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's already planting a seed of doubt between Brittany's relationship with Danielle. Now, mind you, Danielle and I have no knowledge of this conversation. So I'm not, Danielle's not thinking her and Brittany aren't good. I'm not thinking Danielle and Brittany aren't good. But Nicole, and I don't think she was doing this maliciously, or like Frank, like they already are kind of planting that seed of doubt in Brittany's head. So then when Brittany comes back, you see her run in there, and who's in her ear again? Nicole and now Frankie. And they're like, yo, who told X that I was going to throw him in? Which he would have. Like, Brittany, if you had one, you were going to throw me in, quit running. Who told X? And they were like, I don't know. It must have been Danielle. You hear them say that, and then Brittany pulls me in. So in my head, I'm thinking she's not going to send their ally, but I didn't know that there was always already significant doubt that had been placed in her head from Nicole and Frank. This is not me saying Nicole and Frank here, like, we're aiming to get Danielle out, but they were planting seeds, or like what they were saying was putting seeds of doubt in Brittany's head.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To where something that I thought might have worked is probably the worst thing now that I could say. Because Brittany's already got that seed of doubt between our relationship, and all I did was bring that home.
Yeah.
So that's Nicole and Frankie's involvement, which again, people are completely disregarding them. Like, that wouldn't influence my decision. And then Brittany. So Brittany, I completely understand why she did what she did. I still don't think you throw out someone who's a number for you.
Yeah.
You throw in, and I would say the biggest reason for that is because Taylor volunteered.
Yeah.
If Taylor hadn't volunteered, then I think there's more culpability on me. But because Taylor volunteered, you could have thrown Taylor in and then figured out what the deal is with Danielle. If Danielle's like, yo, I'm keeping him around because if he wins, I can make sure he's not coming after you or me. If you think I'm Danielle's weapon and you have a good relationship with him, fill that out. While, especially when a winner is volunteering themselves up on a silver platter.
You throw Taylor in. It's almost worse because Taylor volunteered. It almost feels more kind of backstabby, even though I know it's a game. But like, yeah, that was interesting. I was like, Taylor
volunteered. Yeah, the fact that Taylor volunteered, you could, and mind you, Taylor makes it all the way to two. She was two puzzles away from winning the game. So yes, that would have been a big shot. and you get no blood on your hands because Taylor asked you to throw her in.
Yeah.
So it was like, so that was where it was like, okay, Brittany, this kind of comes back to you, to where like, okay, you could have thrown Taylor in and then figured out things with Danielle for another day, which, mind you, Brittany, if you want to compete against Taylor or Danielle, you probably want to compete against Danielle more than Taylor. So why not take the shot at Taylor now?
That's the other good point.
Or if you want to stick to the girls, Josh is sitting right there crying. So like, you can take a shot at him too. I know they made a deal though. And I know Brittany's understanding was like, maybe this will bring them in closer. I get that. I get that. Like I said, it was a lot of misunderstanding, people thinking they're making the right move. And it just didn't work out that way. And it ultimately led to Danielle's demise. But like, for people to think that it is solely my fault or solely Brittany's fault, I think that's wrong. I think there were a lot of moving pieces and that just kind of not going Danielle's way. It was the perfect cocktail of catastrophic misunderstanding.
Yeah, and if she had 3 days to think about it, she probably wouldn't have done it. But like you said, it's just like, you got to go.
And that's where I'm like, people back off of like Brittany a little bit, because like, yeah, she had to make that decision like that. And the roller coaster of emotion she was probably experiencing, she thought she was going out to lose. Then she triumphantly wins, by the way, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. Triumphantly wins, comes back, and now she's got to make a real quick game decision.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot to kind of handle in the, and what I would probably consider her to be in a very emotional state.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I get it, but like, for people to just sit there and be like, oh, it's your fault, or it's your fault. Like, dude, sometimes things just don't go the way that you think they're going to go in the game.
Yeah.
They just don't. But yeah, so that was my thought process behind why I said what I said. Mm. But I didn't know that seeds of doubt had been planted in Brittany's head about my relationship with Danielle.
Mm.
And so it was like, yeah. And then I was like, yeah, I can see why me saying that is like me stepping in it.
Yeah. I feel like Brittany would agree. Because she was saying too, like, she went in kind of paranoid. Yes, she had met Frankie and Danielle, but it's kind of like she's seen them twice. So it's like, you know, they're... Mm-hmm. But like, they're not best friends, you know, so it's so interesting.
And that's why you don't see me sitting here like, Brittany was in power, she could have saved her. I'm not going to say that, because like, there's a lot of moving pieces going to it. Like I said, I think four people ultimately had a hand in Danielle going home, and I'm not taking myself out of that. I said where I messed up. I also said where Brittany went wrong, and I also said how Frankie and Nicole had somewhat of a factor as well.
Yeah, makes sense. The other decision I just wanted to get your thoughts on was, a lot of people thought Taylor was going to save you. I wasn't so sure. I was like,
when she had two chances to save me. Actually, she had three chances to save me. She saved me once. Well, shout out to Taylor. Not seeing every Santa showdown was, I was up there. I was like, oh, safety. And then Josh was in there. I was like, damn, I'm about to lose a number. It was like good to be safe, and then I saw Josh starting to fall off. I was like, well, I'm on my own again. I was like, damn it, Josh, you had one job. Where's all that challenge prowess? Come on, brother.
It doesn't translate to the holidays, I guess. I don't know.
It was funny, because like, we'll get into your question, but it's just a quick little tidbit. Like, Taylor's like trying to amp Josh up with this elimination. Like, Josh, come on, you got this. Come on, you from the challenge, brother. You got this. How many eliminations have you seen? I was like, Taylor, that's not the argument. I was like, his elimination record is not what you want to use. No. I was like, don't go that route. Don't go that route. Just amp him up other ways. I love that, the little alliance. But continue, please.
No. Yeah. So I meant the time when she saved Nicole. That was the last one, right?
After the second Jingle Bell Brawl, the first Jingle Bell Brawl on day five.
Damn, you know, like, yeah, it's like a blur. I thought she would, if she wasn't going to pick you, I figured Brittany. And I've talked to Taylor about why she picked Nicole, but like, did you think she was going to pick you, or were you like, I get it, like, it's fine in the moment?
Both. 100%. So I think after talking with Taylor, I knew it was between me and Nicole, which is hilarious, because like, I talked to Frankie in the hot cocoa room. And I was just like, hey, so what are you thinking? How do you think it's going to go? And Frankie's like, oh, I think she's going to save you or me. I was like, you think Taylor's going to save you?
Interesting.
Oh, buddy. I was like, what? And I was like, I was like, Frankie, you trying to game me? You ain't got to do that. He was like, no, I honestly think, like, I haven't gone against her. Neither of you. I think one of us is going to be saved. I was like, pretty sure it's going to be me or Nicole. And he was like, what? Do you think she saved Nicole? And then when Nicole got caught, Frankie was like, I was like, if he's in there scheming and like in the DR, like I knew she was going to pick Nicole. But I think he wholeheartedly was like, I think she's going to save you or me. I was like, no. And like when she picked Nicole, and this is where like hindsight people would be like, well, should she have picked Nicole? Because you just guaranteed the winner a spot in the reindeer games who kicked both of our black asses when both of us had an advantage time-wise. So like, it didn't work out. But at the same time, in the moment, I was like, yeah, I understand it. In the moment, I was like, oh, it would have been nice to be safe. But like, I'm not going to come at Taylor and be like, oh, that was dumb. Because like,
yeah,
you go off the information that you have in the moment. That's really all you can do. In that moment, I knew she was going to save me or Nicole. I was pushing hard, like, you can beat me in things. And I was also pushing hard, like, yo, we've been rocking together since day one. Let the other side of the house, because I was like, I can guarantee you if Brittany had won or if Frankie had won or if Nicole had won, I don't think you would have been safe. I think they would have sent you on to a future challenge to compete in. And here you are about to save one of them when they wouldn't do the same for you. And I do think there was also the factor, like, I knew it was going to come down to me and Nicole. I thought, and like, just looking at everybody there, I was like, maybe you save Brittany, because I think if you save Brittany, but like, at the same time, that's people, I think, somewhat underestimating Brittany.
Hmm.
Like if you save Brittany, you may have a better chance against Brittany, but so many of these, it was like, it depends on what the competition is.
Yep.
Like, you can't fully know who to take and to what, because you don't know what the competition is. Like, what if it was something that, like, for example, the first part of that final three part, or the epic duel between Nicole and Taylor, what if the only part was just stacking things up and then having to reach really high? Taylor would win easy. Taylor wins, boom, saving Nicole looks great. So, you know, it's always going to be something. Everything's always going to be subjective in hindsight.
Yep.
But like, do I understand why she did it? Yeah, it is what it is. And it was funny because like the whole season, you see like Nicole and Brittany very adamant they want to get me out. And then you see Taylor very adamant that she wants to get Frankie out. And like the whole time, like, see, if y'all had just come and did it yourselves, Frankie and I would have been gone long ago. Because Nicole takes me out and Taylor takes Frankie out. I'm just like, well, dang, maybe y'all should have just did it yourselves from jump.
Yeah, it was almost poetic.
It was. I was like, y'all been wanting this out all season, and lo and behold, it took you guys to do it. So yeah, everyone's gonna like. I would say if I could give, I think there's a certain phrase that a lot of reality TV competitors just like need to really hear me when I say it. There's an old phrase that goes, those who can do and those who can't teach. When it comes to competing in the reality TV like kind of space, I would change that phrase. Mm-hmm. And I would say those who can do and those who can't critique or criticize.
Yeah.
Like those who can't criticize. I mean, like, you're going to hear a lot of flack from people who aren't in these situations. Like, take that with a grain of salt, because they're not doing what you're doing.
Yep.
They're not under the situation. A lot of them have never even set foot in the Big Brother house, but talk like as if they've been in there and been in that pressure cooker and made decisions under the same circumstance. A lot of them haven't. Like, some of these people are in the podcasting space, some people who have been in the house. This is like, someone who hasn't made it as far as Taylor is going to talk trash to Taylor. How does that make sense? She's won. You haven't. You know, it's like, you know, there's always going to be opinions.
To critique, right? People love to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, those who can do, those who can't criticize.
Yep.
In the reality TV space, that's just what, if you're going to compete, keep that in mind. So when people are saying this was a dumb decision, why would you approach this competition this way? I don't know. Maybe I thought it would work. It didn't. That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And it's a domino effect. Like, you can change one thing and then it affects something else. And it's just like, there's so many little things to it. And even me, like, as a fan, I feel like I criticize less and less as the years go on, because I could never do it. And so like, me coming in this and that, like, please, I'd be out first. So who am I? So that's how I feel like me, but I know it's easier said than done.
It's all good. I know watching it, because like I experienced it too. I'm like, what? I remember on BB25, I'm sitting there like, Izzy, why would you not use that information against Suri? Which, like, me sitting here, I'm sitting there like, why wouldn't you do that? But then again, and then I took a step back and I was like, you gotta remember, you're in the game. Things always seem a little different than what they actually are. So like, maybe don't be so harsh on her not using that information, because maybe she thought that might have been best in the moment. Mm-hmm. But I understand that knee-jerk reaction, but like, I would say for anybody in the space, if you're hearing criticism from people who are just on like Reddit or like X, aka Twitter, you know, like if you're hearing criticism from those people and they've never even set foot in the house or can never do what you can do, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just advice. You're doing great.
Yeah, you're doing great. Don't worry about it. And then did you have fun? Like, are you happy you did it? Or are you like, eh?
I had fun whenever we weren't in like Santa's Lodge competing. Like when we were in Santa's, huh?
I've heard it was really fun. Like when the cameras weren't
off. When we were off and like we would do like the car rides to the hotel, or we were kind of in that, we call it like the detention center. When we were in the detention center, hanging out, having meals and stuff. Those were like the best times. That was so much fun. But when we had to like kind of get to the game, it was a little more like, for me, by the time we got to the last day, I was so drained. Like I was, and I know Frankie was the same. Like we were both just like gassed. I was gassed because I was like, I've competed in everything. I'm tired. Like I was just like, I'm tired. And so it was just like, by that last day, I was exhausted. And like, it was weird when Nicole beat me. It was like bittersweet. Like I was like, damn, I was almost there. But then I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to compete anymore. Oh my gosh, I get to just chill and spectate. This is great. Like it was a weird feeling, because I've never had like a sense of relief in a competitive atmosphere, especially after losing. Like it was a weird feeling, but it was like, it was truly like, darn. Oh, thank God.
Those comps didn't look, they were no joke. I mean, I saw Nicole Franz's used legs. They were
no joke at all. These were some of the most difficult challenges I've ever had to do. Like, you guys saw me sweating. Like,
aren't you coming off an injury? Like, too, how are you feeling?
Oh, yeah, that was I want to premise this. I think in the competitive space, either you get it done or you don't. There are reasons why you might get it done. There are reasons why you might get it done. But ultimately, either you get it done or you don't. Like, I went up against Nicole Franzl with my game on the line. I didn't get it done. I don't win. And like that tree competition, I didn't think this was going to be a factor. I didn't at all. And then I'm sitting there and I'm holding the ball and my hand's like just shaking. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, but like, I'm also not trying to be like, hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Surgery's messing me up right now, because that just sounds like an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, my team wanted me to get it done. I didn't get it done. But like, do I think this probably played a little bit of a factor when I was like looking at my hand? I was like, damn, that's not a good thing. But ultimately, I just didn't get it done. But yeah, coming into this, surgery was definitely something on my brain, because I hadn't competed. I was like, I have no idea if I'm at all where I'm going to need to be competitively. Like, I have no idea. And I don't know how physical these challenges are going to be. I don't know. And like, once you have like a major kind of athletic surgery, a big aspect of that is your confidence. Not only your confidence in like competing, but confidence that like you're not going to get hurt again. Like there's a certain fear block that you have to get past. That's tough.
Yep.
Like when I first started doing the puzzle against Cam on the very first Santa Showdown, I was kind of like trying to move slowly, because like I was like, I don't want to push this too far and end up having to have another surgery again. And then it was getting to the point where I was like, I could move back and forth between these things pretty fast if I just turn it up a notch. And then that's when you start seeing me like high stepping over the puzzle, and I was like, screw it, I'm going all the way in. And so when we did that zip line comp, this was hurting like hell. I was like, because I'm dangling and like my incision where the injury happened was like right here. And so when you stretch out the limbs, that's where it's like pulling on that new ligament. And I was like, oh my God, I thought about doing it one hand, but I was like, is that going to look like I'm trying to be like a braggart? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is so easy kicking these pieces with one hand. Meanwhile, Brittany's like giving it everything she's got. I was like, nope, don't want to do that. But yeah, but like, you know, at the end of the day, it was like, either I'm going to get it done or I don't. So like, don't sit here and be like, oh, surgery's the reason why I lost. No, either I knew my condition when I went into it, either I'm going to get it done or I don't.
Yeah. I knew it was a factor, but you didn't even mention it. It wasn't on the show or anything, but I was thinking about it. I was like, I know he just
got no. Because I don't, because like if I did that, then everyone's gonna be like, oh, he's just using it as an excuse for why. And like I told some of the people, because like they would like see my scar and be like, yo, what happened? And I was just like, oh yeah, I had surgery earlier this year. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, I tore my Achilles and then I tore the ACL of my wrist within about a month of each other. And then I had surgeries back to back. And then I was sidelined for pretty much up until now.
Came out of
retirement. Let's get after it, guys. Yeah. So let me ask you something, Sharon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let me ask you. Did you feel like these comps were equitable? Because I know that's the big thing. Did you feel like these comps, like, on any given challenge, anyone could, like, win?
Watching, yes. I think.
Okay.
Obviously there's going to be some variance of, like, strength and, like, whatever. But, like, compared to what we've been seeing, I think it was way better. And I think Josh is the one that told me they might even have a new guy doing it. So like, I'm hoping we see some of this in Big Brother next year. And I liked the safety chain or whatever you want to call it of throwing the next person in. Like that kind of stuff is interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That hamster wheel kind of safety structure, I definitely think they need to use that because that forces drama. And like I said, it took like an already double eviction pace and turned it into like a quadruple like eviction because it just kept going until someone went home. Like that's crazy. That's so like just demented. Like that's so evil. And I was like, oh, once you're safe, you're like, oh, I love it. But when you're not safe, oh, this is miserable. But yeah, I felt like every single comp that we had was equitable.
Yeah.
The only one where I was even kind of like shaking my head was the final Santa showdown that I went in with Brittany. Mm. On that one, and I even said it to Brittany afterwards, I was like, I was a little shocked that this was kind of what we ended up going against each other on. But then I had to remember, like, one, it wasn't like they knew it was going to be me and Brittany.
Yeah.
And then started constructing this very complex kind of final competition. They didn't know it was going to be me and Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be whoever it was. And so I go back and I'm like, yeah, it might have seemed unfair, but at the same time, no, it wasn't. Because, like, if it had been Brittany and Nicole, no one would be saying anything. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think all the comps were fair. The only thing that kind of was a variable was just based on the competitive. Like, and I also think when like, this might make people angry, but, like, when I think at times if a guy is going against a woman and, like, it seems like it's a comp that favors a guy's size, people are very much going to be like, this comp isn't fair. But then you had like Taylor and Nicole compete on the stacking thing where Taylor could reach up and Nicole literally had to jump, you know?
So yeah. The comps back to back, if they see like leaning towards one kind of person or structure, but you're right. Like there's always going to be someone's taller, gravity's lower. Like there's going to be those variables. I think it's just when it's back-to-back comps that clearly favor.
Yeah, I think when you see it consistently, that's where I'm like, I feel like people have been so conditioned by traditional Big Brother competition. So I can't even like be mad about it. I can get why people would want to scream like that comp wasn't equitable. Actually, it kind of was because after all that kicking, I had to find the needle in the haystack.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
So it was like, geez. And then, like, also to, like, flip it, and again, you don't hear anybody saying this combo is inequitable. Let's go back to that balance beam from the first Jingle Bell Brawl. How many times did Big Ass Josh fall down? No one was like, oh, this comp isn't fair because it's Josh's fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know Josh has struggled because, like, I was walking with my feet like this because they were way too big for that balance beam. But I know, like, Frankie didn't find that as much of a problem. I don't think Brittany did. I don't think Nicole did.
Yeah.
But no one's sitting there like, oh, that competition isn't equitable because, like, it's coming at the misfortune of the bigger people.
Yep.
So it's like every single comp was equitable. It just varies based off the competitor, and that's how it is. But, like, it was cool to see a bunch of competitions where you felt like anybody could win.
Yep.
And I think, so I like that. And I think that will continue on because I think Big Brother season 25 was like, okay, end of like kind of this first, I guess, quarter of Big Brother. And now era. And now we can start something kind of anew.
Yeah. I think that was great. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I agree. I think you're always going to get some variance, but as long as there are comps that anyone can win, like you said, I think it's
Like if every competition was like that last competition, that, like, if they did like three in those in a row, y'all need to mix it up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But like just on one competition where it just so happened that Brittany was going to get someone long, I'm not going to scream that comp wasn't fair, because if it was Nicole down there with Brittany, no one would be saying anything.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think the comp wasn't equitable. It's just Brittany got a bad draw and going against somebody who's 6'2", you know.
Exactly. You had a good foot on her, I think, probably.
I think I'm like, probably like a foot taller. My wingspan is 6'7". So like, yeah, Brittany, that's a very bad draw. I'm sorry. And I said this to her, I ran up to her. I was like, I am so sorry that you had to go against me at this, because it was like, you know, if she didn't perfectly have the strategy down from jump, it was going to be an uphill battle.
Yep. No, yeah.
So.
Well, as I don't want to take all of your time, but as we wrap up, like, was there anything you wish we saw, any conversations, any behind the scenes stuff that you were like, oh, I kind of wish we saw that, anything like that?
I mean, there were several things that kind of happened behind the scenes that they couldn't, a part of like the social or maybe, I guess, strategic aspect of that. Like, one thing I constantly see was like, so when Josh and I volunteered ourselves to like take that, penalty. Taylor had just won the competition. She went in the DR room. So I go and I'm sitting with Josh. I was like, who do you think she's going to give that to? And they're like, oh, Frank. And like, mind you, people, when you're in alliance with someone else, your goal is to try to look out for them and keep them safe so that they can return that in the favor. Like, that's just how an alliance works. At least that's how a successful alliance works, which I don't know what I would know about that. But that's how a successful alliance works. So like, she's in there and I'm talking with Josh. I'm like, I don't think she should give it to Frankie. I think she gives it to one of us, because if she gives it to one of us, one, these disadvantages aren't that bad.
Yep.
And two, she's not pissing anybody else off. So if someone else wins the Jingle Bell Brawl, we don't want to give, because at that point, people were looking for whatever reason they could. So I was like, we don't want Taylor giving anybody a reason to look at her, least of all Frankie, who has a high probability of winning the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't want to do that. So Taylor comes out of the DR. Frankie, I think, pulls me. So I was like, Taylor, go talk to Josh. And then Josh fills her in on the plan. And then people were like, oh yeah, just getting to do it. I was like, dude, we're working together. That's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to look out for her. Are you, what? Like, yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. And then I saw Derek. Derek had a little clip he went on rap. Because there was a time where we were walking out to that hamster wheel, and I pretty much was applying hella pressure on Nicole. And they didn't show it at all. So before we even got started on the competition, everyone's looking at that hamster wheel and they're like, no, no, no. And so when they're doing that, I'm just kind of like, okay, she's going to send me in. But Nicole had just made a deal with me that she wasn't going to send me in. Mm. And so for me, I see, cause like Brittany had volunteered and then she backed out, and I was like, she might send in Frankie, but Frankie's also like kind of her guy. So I feel like it's going to lean towards me. And so I was just like, right while we were there, I was just like, you know what? I've been getting sent to the Senate Showdown a lot. If I'm going to get sent in, I want it on my terms.
Yep.
So then I announced to like everybody, I was like, hey, just so everyone knows. And no one had been applying any pressure to Nicole at all. So I was like, hey, just so everyone knows, Nicole made a deal not to throw me in first. So I just hope that she honors that. And I was like, okay, let's see what happens now. And I was like, I'll gladly go in second, which at the time I was perfectly fine with going in second. Because I was like, this way I'm at least going, if I'm going in, I'm going in on my own terms. And so Nicole sends in Frankie, this and that. And then when Frankie's competing, that's when Danielle's starting to tell me, hey, I think I want to go second. And I'm like, oh, shit. I just literally volunteered myself to go second in front of everybody. And she's like, I feel like for me to have the best chance at like competing in that and staying, I'd rather go with more time. And I'm like, shit. So this is when like I'm backtracking. And Frankie's like, do you want to go in? And I'm like, no, because I think Danielle wants to go in. I would rather her have more time and me have less time. And so that's what, and so like, I'm like, so when I walk out there and because I heard DX was like, oh, X is like, bro, I thought this is what you wanted. I was like, DX, this is where you're an elf. Stay in elf land. Because like, he didn't see the conversations being had about Danielle wanting to go in second. So I walk out there and I'm upset, not necessarily because I'm out there. I mean, yeah, I'm back in Santa Showdown. Not great. But at the same time, I was like, fuck, because now I'm like, that means three of my allies are left out of the four people, which means one of them may have to go in, and that's not a good situation because I'm going to lose what little numbers I already have.
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, not too thrilled. And I go to the hamster wheel. It takes me however long. Get it done. Boom, move on. And then Brittany goes in. But yeah, that was an aspect that I just wanted to provide some clarity for. DX made it seem like I walked out pissed solely because I was back in. I was like, dude, I volunteered to go back in. But when we went back in the house, which is where you aren't, Danielle's like, I want to go second. And I'm like, damn it. Okay. Let's try to switch this up now. Okay. Shoot.
Oh my gosh. I've had like three or four conversations today and I don't remember who told me this. And it might have been Brittany. I don't think it was you, but okay. I think she said, or someone told me that like you had said, or you were very loyal to like, you were willing to go home for Danielle. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have gone home for Danielle. Like I think that hamster would have been a prime example just because like, if I had gone in with less time, I might have gotten it. But if you go based off my time, I would have been screwed.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I think I would say people that I would have fallen on the sword for would have been Taylor and Danielle.
Yeah, Taylor.
I think Taylor and Danielle, I probably would have fallen on the sword for. One, it's a holiday special. I'm not thinking that deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not all winter season of Big Brother. All winter season of Big Brother, I'm like, hey, good luck. Like, let's come on. Like, good luck. But on this thing, I'm like, so when I saw Taylor and Danielle there, which I had an idea that Taylor was going to be there, I didn't know Danielle. So I see Taylor and Danielle there. I'm like, okay, cool. Taylor and I won. Let's try to, like, maybe one of us can be the first two-time winner, so to speak. I know people are going to get real kind of particular about that. I'm like, okay, if you guys aren't going to consider Nicole the first two-time winner, then stop evaluating reindeer games from a Big Brother traditionally perspective. Like, either give her the credit of being a two-time Big Brother winner or stop evaluating everything that people did in reindeer games like it's a regular Big Brother, because it wasn't.
It's totally different.
So, yeah. So, like, either split it up, or if you're going to conjoin it, Nicole needs to be recognized as the first two-time winner. Make up your mind. Yeah. But with this, I was like, okay, cool. Maybe Taylor and I could be that. Cool. Maybe we could be that person. Or I was like, if we're not going to win, I would absolutely love to help Danielle get her first win. Would absolutely love it. And so if, like, we're right at the stretch and I think Danielle might be able to win, and I just got to – I would have been perfectly fine with that. I got my win already. Like, Danielle, you inspired my win, which helped inspire Taylor's win, and you inspired Taylor's win.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it was like, if I could do something to help you finally get the win that I know you've been, like, wanting so bad, I have no problems doing that. It's not that deep for me. It's 100K, which is like, oh, that would have been nice for 10 days. You know? It's not good money. It was like, oh, I was right there. But at the same time, it was like, I would love to be able to be like, Danielle Reyes finally got her first win and I was able to help her get it.
That would have been cool. It would have been cool to see, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, like falling on the sword for them, I wouldn't have felt any type of way. And again, I didn't view this as something that people were going to evaluate and be like, uh-oh, this person sucks at Big Brother. Now, if they didn't show out on reindeer games or something like that, which, like, anybody who I think made it to the Final Four, I don't know how you could sit there and hate on them. Like, everyone made it in different ways and showed different facets of the game to get them there. It is what it is.
It is what it is. X, don't, yeah, the people that are.
Oh, no, I trust me. I was like, man, people are like, you're a lot. Well, let's see. I've been on 3 shows. I won one. The other one I lost because of what I had just did. And then this show, the main thing I was hearing after winning on Big Brother was like, oh, if he didn't have the cookout, he never would have made it far. And like, I was targeted from day one and I still made it to the final day. It was like, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. It was a gruesome uphill battle, but I still made it.
Yeah. I'm actually happy that they got their licks at back in the challenge, because whatever, you lost that one because of that. But like, now it's a clean slate.
You play. Oh my gosh. I was for the BB23 people, I was like, just so y'all know, we even. So like, either we're gonna work together or we ain't. But yeah, like, as far as like the friendship ties, the only people that I would be like, I'm not coming for y'all ever, that the people that I would give like the Taylor and Danielle treatment is probably Tiffany and Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They would probably get that same type of treatment, because if I can help them win, it's kind of one of those things that I'm like, y'all my girls. So like,
yeah,
sword, like I, but okay. That's why I'm all like, I'm secretly trying to avoid playing games with people I know.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't like, I want to be able to backstab someone and not really care about it. You know, like, the last couple of, every single show I've done, I felt like to some degree, and most of this is just me doing it to myself, but to some degree, I felt like I can't, like there's certain people that like, I can't touch. Mm. Like on this show, I was like, I can't touch Taylor or Danielle. I'm not going to do that. No, I'd rather see us all get there.
Yeah.
And then on the Challenge USA, I was like, y'all are my friends. Like, I don't want to stab y'all in the back. Like on Big Brother, I didn't know any of y'all. I didn't care. Everybody can get it. I didn't know y'all, but then y'all are my friends. And then on this show, it was like Taylor Danielle. So I want to go on a show where no one knows me and I know nobody. Cause then I'm like, oh, I can get everybody. Now I can have fun, but we'll see. I don't know. At this point, I'm maybe tired.
Maybe the traders, you wouldn't know anyone. Maybe no Big Brother people, probably. Maybe one.
That'd maybe. So the last 2 seasons, they've had at least 2 people from Big Brother. So that makes me kind of, like, I would probably go on there with somebody else who might know me.
They might know you, but like, maybe they throw you in there with like someone, not someone from your season, you know, like,
yeah,
random.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see, there were several people from this season of Reindeer Games I would love to see on the Traders.
Like,
so 2 people who I think would actually be really great at the Traders, I think, and I think people aren't going to, maybe people consider this, but I don't think people will. I think Nicole Franzl would crush it on the Trader as a Trader. I think if she, because she has this ability to kind of make people underestimate and underwhelm her, or, you know, and then like, I don't think anyone would suspect her of like backstabbing people. She just kind of has that presence about her. She seems almost innocent.
Yeah.
So I think she would make an absolutely brilliant Trader. And I also think Danielle would be a great Trader.
Yeah.
If people don't know who Danielle is, I think she would perform very similar to like how Sarita did.
Yeah.
But if they know who she is, she might be in trouble.
Yeah. I just don't know how much like these housewives are watching Big Brother. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So like, I think Danielle and Nicole would be good. And then for Reindeer Games, I'd love to see, there are people that I would love to see on like a future season of that too.
Yeah. I want to see Rachel play.
You said who?
Rachel Riley. I'd like to see her play.
Give me Rachel. I want to see Mike Brunner come back. I'd love to see him compete. I think him and I would love to see him and Frankie like square off in Santa Showdown. I would love to see that. That would be like a heavyweight fight. But like, I would love to see Mike Jag. I think I want to see, because like, I got to see Cam, and Cam was kind of the person who was preventing Jag from winning so many competitions. So I would be curious to see, like, you know, how like, Jag, can you compete your way again, or like, how does it work?
Yeah.
For my season, I'd like to see. I would actually like to see like Christian and SB, two of my former kings. I think they would do really well.
Where? I feel like she's got to come out of hiding, and she's great on TJ.
Look, some people, you got to remember though, sometimes you come out and like the reception's great.
Oh, no.
Sometimes you come out to some heat. You know what I'm saying? So like, She was like the main antithesis. She was one of the people that was mainly targeted by the AFP of the season. So, you know, fair. Sometimes you come out and you're revered. Sometimes you come out and you come out to heat. And that can very much deter people from doing future shows. But I would love to see her come and do something like Reindeer Games. I think she'd be great.
She'd be fun. She loves, she'd be fun dressing up and everything. Christian's also a really nice guy. He probably would do well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Christian would do well. I think people who would do well on the game are people who I think competitively are like solid, but they're not the first people who come to your brain. So, and there, Chris, because Christian's pre-jury, he might not come to your brain initially. And like SB, I think would be in these type of comps, I think she would do very well. So yeah, like that's where I think those two would do good. So yeah, I'm curious. I hope they bring it back because so I can see other people go through it.
I'm sure. By the way, before I things keep popping up.
Let's get into all of it. You can edit and splice.
I know. How much did you hate the costumes? Or were you like, whatever?
So the only aspect that I kind of disliked about the costumes was like when we're competing, it's not like allowing me to like I'm hanging from a zip line in a tie, dress shirt, and a vest. Like I need to be able to move right now. I'm not going to a like Mrs. Claus's formal. Like I'm trying to move and I'm in like jeans. When we did the first puzzle, I was drenched in sweat because I'm moving back and forth and I'm in a damn holiday sweater. Now, granted, the holiday sweater was, but it was so hot. I was sitting there like I had to tie my hair up because I was going to be sweating. So I was like, yeah, let's keep it put. Like they were, some of them work for the competition, but some of them, it's like, if we're getting a little more mobile, I don't want to be wearing all these layers. Like I want to be chilling, especially because like we were thinking that Frankie called it liquid transfer, but I call it slip and slide. The competition where you take like the ground's all slippery and people are running back and forth trying to fill up the thing with like that goo. Yeah. I thought that was going to be a competition. I was petrified at the thought of doing that.
Wow. I didn't
want to do that at all. Purely because I feel like that was like injury waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Fall the wrong way, put my hand down, boom, back in the surgery chair. And I was like, yeah, nah. I was petrified of that potentially happening. So I didn't want that at all. But
I'm surprised.
But Danielle. Huh?
I'm surprised they still do that one because it is very like you can easily break your wrist on that.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous competition. Like I think they need to get rid of that computer. It's like it's funny seeing people fall.
Yeah.
But like you're also subjecting some of these, like I remember who was it? I think it was Frankie. He was like on 16 when we did that and people came back. He was like, they could not move the next day. Like, they were so sore and banged up. I was like, yeah, I have zero desire. If that competition would have popped on, I would have been like,
sit out.
I would have just been going on that first Jingle Bell Brawl with the balance beam. I was like, I'm not winning this. I'm just focusing on not getting injured.
Yeah. Because
we saw Cody take that tumble. I was like, yeah, I don't want that to be me. That looked like it hurt.
You could have broken.
I was like, yeah, but that was like Cody's, I think, like 5'10". Josh kept falling off. I was like, if one of us bigger guys goes down, it's going to be OVO. I don't want that. Not on day one.
Yep. Totally fair. Any other questions? Anything I missed or anything you wanted to get off your chest or anything that you felt was misunderstood? I feel like we covered a lot. I'm trying to think.
No, I feel like we covered everything. And like I said, I'm sure anything I say – whenever I come and give an explanation, the first thing people say, oh, he's a lawyer. He's going to be good at reworking it and kind of, you know what I'm saying? That's always, it's going to be a thing. Like, oh, of course he's going to try to, ooh, if it somehow makes sense in their head what I'm saying. Oh, of course he's going to come and kind of repaint the narrative like I'm this stellar politician. So, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. But no, I think anything I've needed to say, I've said. Or anything I feel like I've wanted to say, I've said. But I also don't feel like I need to prove myself to anybody. You know, I've done two shows in the Big Brother universe. I made it on the podium on both of them. I'm, you know, it wasn't the flashiest, wasn't the most entertaining, but, you know, first and third, I'm first and tied for third. Me and Frankie tied for third. So first and tied for third, I'm not disappointed in that. And I would say I'm proud of how far I made it.
Step
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Want to keep your personal number private but still stay connected? With Line 2, you can get a second phone line right on your device with a super simple app and no need for another phone. Whether it's for online shopping, dating, or shielding your main number from spam, Line 2 is an easy way to manage it all. Ready for peace of mind without breaking the bank? Call, text, block, and more for only $9.99. Get started with line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in any app store today. Line 2, your second line simplified.